Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Word of the Week takes an in-depth look at important Bible words so we might increase and deepen our understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
Thanks for joining us again at Burden and Blessing and for our Word of the Week. My name is Nathaniel Mayhew, and this week we'll be considering the word covenant. The word covenant is used over 300 times in Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, and it's a common theme. In fact, we might even go so far as to say that it is the theme of the Bible. First of all, let's begin with a definition of the word covenant. The word covenant, as it's used in the Old and the New Testament, has the basic meaning of to make an agreement or to make a pledge. The word covenant can be used to describe an agreement in a human sense between two human parties. For example, in the Old Testament, we hear about how Abraham makes a covenant, an agreement, or makes a promise, a pledge, to Abimelech. We also hear about Jonathan and David making a covenant with one another. And finally, we even hear about King Solomon making a covenant or an agreement with King Hiram. But this is really a small fraction of how the word covenant is used in Scripture. But I mentioned that the word covenant is used to describe the theme of Scripture. From the very beginning of the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, you see the idea of the covenant that God has made in order to bring about the promise of a Savior. Now, there are two different aspects to this covenant. There are times where God makes a covenant with a person or a group of people, and it is a two-sided agreement. For example, in the Old Testament, we hear about how God makes a covenant with Abraham. God says, I will give you land, I will give you descendants, I will give these blessings to you, but as a second side of that covenant, God also demanded that Abraham fulfill his side, which was through the use of circumcision. It was a sign of that covenant. Later on, at Mount Sinai, God again repeats the covenant. He says, I will make a covenant with you, the people of Israel. I will be your God, and you will be my people. For the children of Israel, they were commanded by God to keep the Ten Commandments, the moral law. God said, as long as you honor and obey these commands, as well as the other regulations found in the civil and the ceremonial laws which God gave to Moses, then they would be his people. The problem was that throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel, God's promised people all the way back to the time of Abraham, were found lacking on their side of the covenant. They were unable to continue keeping the covenant which God had required of them. They fell short. And so time and time again throughout the Old Testament, you have the people of God being led back by a good leader to reestablish, to reaffirm the covenant which God had made with them through Abraham, through the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, and throughout their Old Testament history. Regardless of the religious leaders, whether it be Nehemiah or Ezra or good kings like Josiah, still the problem was that human beings are not able, because of their sinful nature, to keep the side of the covenant which God demands. We are to be perfect, and yet we are not. And so we see that God continues to reach out and to reestablish this covenant as he uses Abraham, as he uses the children of Israel, in order to bring about the one-sided covenant that God has made for the salvation of all people. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament talks about how Jesus is the fulfillment of the better covenant. In other words, this covenant has nothing to do with mankind. It has only to do with God's promise, the unbreakable promise that he made to Abraham, that he repeated through Moses, that was repeated again throughout the prophets of the Old Testament, that he would send a Redeemer. This covenant that God would establish through his Son would be one that would be sealed with blood. Again, we go to the New Testament book of Hebrews. We're told there in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 and following, for this reason, God is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a covenant, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a covenant is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. In other words, the covenant throughout the Old Testament pointed ahead to Jesus. It was in Jesus, in his death, that God sealed the covenant that he made with all people throughout the history of the world. It was through the death of Jesus that God fulfilled his unbreakable promise to redeem sinners from death and from the power of the devil. During the season of Lent, we celebrate that covenant, that unbreakable promise which God has established in the person and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. May we rejoice that the covenant and its fulfillment does not depend on us as sinners who are unable to keep the promises and the requirements which God has laid out for us, but rejoice that God has kept his unbreakable promise in sending his Son to live and to die for us.
We encourage you to listen for a new word each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. Until next week, be assured that God's word is truth and is more precious than gold.